Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Today's episode is a solo cast companion piece to the Substack post entitled Shamanic Remembering Begins by Listening with the Heart. Turns out, the heart and mind hear things differently. As always, hit the little like button, subscribe, and send me any questions you have. I hope you like today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast. In this episode, I will be commenting on the written Substack post entitled Shamanic Remembering Begins by Listening with the Heart. And so in this episode, I'll be talking about how the heart hears things differently than the mind. And you can read the post, which is pretty straight ahead and tells a little story, begins with a little story of me in my early 20s when I attended the Institute of Audio Research in Greenwich Village, Manhattan. And I would, between morning classes and evening classes, I had the whole afternoons free. So I'd walk up from the village straight up to Central Park, and it's a good three-mile walk. And I'd spend my time in the afternoon sitting on that park bench and listening. And I was in my 20s. Like many people in their 20s, I was searching for who I was, meaning of life, what is my hero's journey in this path. And I was attending the Institute of Audio Research because it was a backup plan. It was plan B, because plan A was being a musician, playing a guitar, being a rock and roll star. It was the 80s, come on. And so the voices from the heads of people around me and all the logic that goes along with it of, you can't make any money being a musician, you know, come on, what are you going to do? You need a plan B. So, of course, the head was saying, hey, validating these things, and that, well, you know, maybe we're not going to make it. Maybe we're not going to be able to pull this off. Sorry, heart. Plan B, let's record music. And so that's what I did. And of course, this caused a tension between what my heart was longing for and what the head's advice was, especially listening to other people's advice piled on top of that. This is a very common scenario, right? And especially in addiction recovery, what ends up happening is not only is there this kind of tension, but there are all of the other people's opinions about the ways you should be doing it. And it can get complicated pretty fast. So while there are many different supports for the heart, and you can fill your bubble with whatever you want. And if you want to just surround yourself with people who support the heart and your heart's desire, you can find that. Problem is that until we are able to truly listen with the heart, not just hear what the heart's saying. And there is a difference there. What's the difference? Well, we may know what the heart is saying, but in the result of trauma, that heart could be saying the result of heartbreak. So it's my trauma, my heartbreak. So what is longing? Is it coming from the heartbreak, or is it coming from my heart's true desires? Again, a common scenario when dealing with the recovery from addictions. And when we get to the core and we start looking at the traumas at the core. So, listening with the heart. And in the post, I talk about very simple first steps, which are basically get out of your mind. Simple stuff like turn off all electronics, everything that can message you, beep you, interfere, interrupt, turn them off. And step two, basically turn off your mind and then get into nature. This is the beginning. And in the post, it talks about, okay, taking a walk, standing in the front doorway, listening to the rain or the wind. We just had about a foot and a half of snow dumped up on us. I used to love New York City during a big snowstorm, in that silenced when everything, you know what I'm talking about, that silence of snow, even in the middle of a place like New York. I love that. And so again, these are the first steps. And it's like, for some people, this may sound like an oversimplification. For some people, this may sound like a big deal. But for it, let's say you've got those first steps under your belt. It's like, okay, I get it. Get out in nature, taking a walk, unplug. How do we listen to my heart? Well, this is on a spectrum. And what I mean by that is taking a walk in nature can be, you know, an afternoon. If that's not enough for you, well, then the end of that spectrum can be, you know, the proverbial 40 days fasting in the desert. And okay, maybe not quite that long, but you know, the 3 days crying for a vision in your spot in the wilderness while you fast is often plenty enough. So these may be too much for some people, which is why in the post I talk about these starting steps. So again, for some people, getting started is obviously going to be very important. This idea of unplugging and just tuning out the mind. Now, the other thing is about heart listening. Randy, how do I know I'm not just imagining? This is a question that comes about all the time, especially when we're talking about journeying and or the shamanic rites exercises. All right. The idea of psychology versus spirituality. Going to revisit this again and again. So from the psychological perspective, when I journey, the journey is happening within me. All of those spirits that I meet are components of me, and the landscapes are within my imaginal realms. As opposed to the shamanic perspective, which is very clear that I go to a place outside of me in non-ordinary reality. I go to these spiritual realms. My compassionate and helping spirits are outside of me. They are compassionate and helping spirits outside of me that I can receive help from. So, this is one of the reasons why heart listening gets difficult for some people, because if a person is just using the psychological model where it's all within me, I can see how that gets complicated, because what am I listening to? I'm listening to me. I'm listening to me. What am I making it up? What am I, you know, as opposed to when we listen, it's from something outside of us. We are receiving versus generating. My imagination is generating this message versus I am listening to and receiving this message. This is a foundational difference between the perspectives of psychology and spirituality, in our case, shamanism. Going on the shamanic journey, listening to the messages we receive, meeting the spirits, all of this is outside of us. Having that as a foundation, it's easier to then listen. What am I doing? I'm listening to the answers versus I feel like I'm generating this, and if I'm generating it, I'm in control. Taking this and applying it now towards addiction recovery and trauma, both of those perspectives have their pros and cons. For heart listening, the purposes of this podcast and this post, it's harder to have the perspective of listening if it's going to be generated from me. Granted, there are wonderful methods in psychology, internal family systems, where you can have parts of yourself and you're listening to and dialoguing with parts of yourself, which sounds to me like indigenous communities, shamanics, ways of doing things. And I've heard the founder, Mr. Schwartz, I think it's Richard Schwartz, talk about this also. And yeah, but again, for purposes of heart listening, the heart listening outside of ourself, that is going to be key to use the spiritual and the shamanic method as opposed to generating it from within me. Another concept I briefly touch on in the post, and I'll go into a little more detail here, is surrender. And I have a whole lesson in the Sober Shaman's Path of Recovery dedicated to surrender, where we go into it for a whole week. And it deserves that and more because of the magic and the paradox that comes with surrender. For our purposes here today, surrender with regards to heart listening and what I was just saying upon that difference between psychology and spirituality. Psychology would say that there is a type of ego surrender that needs to happen, especially like with the 12-step approach. It's one of the foundational concepts, and the surrender of my will and my ego, big stuff, important stuff must be done at some point because obviously my will, my way wasn't working with what I was doing, going round and round the cycle of addiction. Spiritual surrender is similar in that, okay, the ego does need to surrender and surrender its will. And now, once I do that, what comes in? Again, it's not the psychological's view of, okay, now I surrendered my ego, so I am ready, I'm listening, I'm ready for new messages. And it's easy to fall into mind. So going back to that mind listening versus heart listening. So it's like, okay, I got my ego out of the way and I have my observer mind in control now. And it's still in control. So, okay, I surrendered the ego, now with something like psychedelics, and when we have those ego dissolving experiences, it opens up into something bigger. These biggers are bigger than ourself. These biggers now take on the language of and the geography from spirituality. Because for many people, it's one of two basic things. It's the experience of cosmic unity, as I love it heard termed as. And if you've had the experience, I am as one with everything. I am you, you are me. It's just cosmic unity. You're the drop of you has been fallen into the ocean of everything, and you are as one with it. And then there is that other experience to where I am hanging on to the concept of I. There is some identity of me, even as my ego boundaries have fallen away. And so call this my soul. And I'm still hanging on to that identity. And there are absolutely others that are available, communicating with, making their presence known, however they do that. And so, backing out of this psychedelic experience now, but taking that model of spirituality and other, we can bring in nature. And this is why nature is so important for so many reasons when talking about heart listening, addiction recovery, spirituality. Because nature is the interface between us and the deeper cosmos spirits. We can touch nature, we can touch a tree, and at the same time, we can have an energetic and a spiritual experience with a tree. We'll leave that one. As with anything else in nature, power animals are also physical animals. Of course, there are power animals that take on mythological forms and abilities in spirit. So, nature, listening with the heart. These techniques of fasting, unplugging, going out. Again, the difference between mind and heart. You can do these activities from both perspectives. you can still carry your mind with you for 3 days, fasting and crying for a vision, and get stuck in the mind the whole darn time. This is again why the foundational difference, surrendering and listening to something outside of me, bigger than me. For people who are continuously stuck in the mind, despite what they do. Despite, Randy, I try to walk. All right. I try to walk, skipping a meal. All right. I tried a couple of days. I went on nature for camping, and it's like still haven't, still getting stuck. Generally speaking, these people, maybe this is you, are running up against belief. And this is where this would be the boundary between the mind and the heart, the mind releasing, relinquishing, and surrendering, and allowing the heart to hear something bigger. Is because you are running into one of your belief structures, which is saying, there's no such thing. This is stupid. We got to remain in control. What's going to happen? All of those beliefs that I would guess are also at the core of keeping you where you are in your recovery. In other words, to move to the next level of your recovery, to maybe you've stopped at a wonderful plateau and your life is looking good and you're checking all the boxes, you're logically rolling along, but something's missing. Like there's meaning, purpose. The love's not, but you know what? It's good enough. It's good enough. And this is one of those statements where I love to revisit. And only you can decide when it's not good enough. When the mind's logic, despite all of its outward appearances of success, are not going to be enough to do what you know is in your bones to be true, that you should be moving to, should. If you want to move to that next level, then you will have to do these next belief breaking down, blowing ups to reach the heart, to visit the heart, to be able to listen to the heart's messages. So, chances are, all the work you've done examining, discovering, dismantling your limiting core beliefs, what I like to call from a shamanic perspective, the spells at the core of the addiction. It's like you're under a spell of this belief. I'm not good enough. Who cast that spell? Where did that come in? So all the work you've done to take care of these, this is what is going to also, when you apply it in this manner, allow yourself to relinquish mind listening and move into heart listening. And if you haven't done it, haven't done the examination and dismantling of these limiting core beliefs and the disenchantment of these spells, you're not going to be able to make that jump. And that is why, regardless of the methods that you use, whether they're the ones in this post, some of the ones I've said, or other ones that you've tried, this is the gig. This is why I always return to beliefs. For me, the beliefs are what is the currency in the realm of the spiritual, whether they block us from the next level of spiritual development, connection, or they help us for that. Beliefs. All right. Well, this was the commentary on the post entitled, give me a minute while I scroll back here, Shamanic Remembering Begins by Listening with the Heart. And I'll add one last thing, because in the post I did talk about, it did begin with that story of my early 20s recording music in Greenwich Village there. One thing that I wasn't even consciously aware of, not that consciously aware of at the time, but looking back, it makes total sense now. One of the reasons why I was wandering and wondering and searching for meaning, why it was so ramped up for me at this particular time in my life, was because of the particular place it was happening. And the particular place it was happening was in Manhattan. And I was born on the island of Manhattan. And now that hospital is a condos. There is something about the place where we're born for me. I completely resonate with that notion. And while walking on those concreted streets and the earth underneath, I was literally trying to put my feet on the place to receive the messages of, why did I land here? What's the point? From that place, the soul of New York is often talked about it from so many different aspects of, artistry and just finance. But the soul of the island itself, it's different, just like any place underneath that concrete. And while I did not have a guide at that time, unfortunately, I did have this heart longing, this heart pulling, that is the reason why I did these long walks and spent the afternoons listening in that place, was because I wanted to hear it from the literal place of my birth. Take that for what it's worth. Do you notice a difference when you walk around the place of your birth? When you go back and revisit, maybe you're still there. What does that do to you? What does that do for you? The big questions in recovery, in family, are you the one that stayed in the family? Or are you the one that left in the family? That's always a wonderful starting question, because it goes in two completely different directions, doesn't it? So if you're the one who left, what's it like coming back? If you're the one who stayed, what's it like being in that place, layer upon layer? All right. I hope this episode of the Sober Shaman podcast, where we talked about heart listening, provided you with some new ways of thinking about listening, maybe some new ways to surrender into heart listening. I'd love to hear any comments you have, questions, send them my way. As always, till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.